Good morning. My name is Janice, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Sequel Communications conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Keith Abel, Senior Vice President of Communications. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this discussion of the first quarter 2013 results for Sequel Communications One LLC and its subsidiaries, which do business as Suddenlink Communications. Before we get started this morning, we'd like to remind you that certain statements made during this conference call might be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Act of 1995. Those statements are subject to the various risks and uncertainties described in our annual report, which is posted to our website. These risks and uncertainties could cause actual future results to differ materially from the results expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements made on this call. The information discussed today will be based on our earnings release for the period ended March 31st, 2013. Both our earnings release and quarterly report have been posted to the Investor Relations section of our website at suddenlink.com. The release compares actual and pro forma financial and operating results for the first quarters of 2013 and 2012, and our presenters today will focus their comments on year-over-year pro forma results for the first quarter. The pro forma information they discuss today includes the acquisition and contribution of all the capital stock of Excel Communications on November 15, 2012, and excludes the impact of immaterial asset divestitures in 2012, as if those transactions had been consummated on January 1, 2012. With that, I'll now turn the call over to our CEO, Jerry Kent. Jerry?
Thanks, Pete. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Let me begin by saying that I'm very pleased with the solid performance we delivered, operationally and financially, in the first quarter. Our results continue to be among the best in the industry, and we're increasingly benefiting from the steps we've taken over the past several years to build out our world-class infrastructure and national backbone, augmented by $350 million of Project Imagine investments. Through these efforts, we've strengthened our services and are well-positioned to support the growing residential and commercial appetite for faster internet speed, bandwidth-intensive applications, and advanced video services. We've developed strong brand to focus investments in customer care, achieving significant increases in our net promoter scores and, for the fifth consecutive year, the most improved customer satisfaction ratings where we're measured by the independent J.D. Power surveys. It is with these key achievements that we're able to look to 2013, the year that marks the 10th anniversary of this company, as a year of significant momentum. Our results for the first quarter 2013 speak to that momentum. First quarter pro forma revenue of $539 million was up 6.4% over the same period last year. Excluding non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA was $208.3 million in the first quarter of 2013, representing a 9.4% increase over the first quarter 2012. Including non-recurring expenses, year-over-year EBITDA growth was 13.8%. Revenue-generating units, or RGUs, now total nearly 3.57 million, an increase of more than 46,000 during the first quarter and more than 93,000 in the trailing 12 months. Our strategic decision to protect yield contributed to the growth in ARPU, average revenue per unit. First quarter ARPU was $148.59, a 9.7% increase over the year-ago period. Additionally, free cash flow in the first quarter was $38.1 million, representing growth of approximately $26.9 million, or nearly 250% in the trailing 12 months. I can't emphasize enough the importance of this metric for the company. With Project Imagine's completion, our generation of free cash flow has accelerated as adjusted EBITDA has increased and capital expenditures have declined. With the cable landscape continuing to evolve, we understand the need to be adaptable and opportunistic across all of our platforms in order to meet the demands of our customers and drive growth. That's why we continue developing services such as wireless home networking, home security, Suddenlink TiVo co-branded devices, Wi-Fi hotspots, and other innovations. For example, we've added compelling content to Suddenlink To Go, our online video service. We expanded our partnership with TiVo to include TiVo Stream, delivering a state-of-the-art digital experience to multiple devices. We also were the first cable provider to offer TiVo Mini, providing customers with an even more economical home DVR solution. All of these services are proving quite popular with our customers. We're also making headway with non-video customers. Given the clear advantage we have over DSL, our primary internet competitor, it's no surprise high-speed internet has become our leading growth engine. And we continue to add phone customers. Combined, internet and phone account for a majority of our gross margin, and I'm pleased to say we successfully targeted non-video households with internet-only or bundled internet and phone offers. As a result, non-video residential customers represented 18.8% of total residential customers at March 31st, an increase of 11.4% over the first quarter of last year. That being said, video remains an integral part of our service mix, as demonstrated by our recent Total Home Initiative, which was launched last month. Made possible by our Project Imagine Investments and TiVo partnership, Total Home provides our customers with peace of mind. It simplifies the process through which they can obtain advanced video, internet, and phone technologies wrapped in a mega bundle of our best services, including our SL 200 HD TV package of channels, TiVo Anyroom DVR and TiVo Stream, video on demand, high-speed internet with an up to 30 meg download speed, wireless home networking, unlimited U.S. long-distance phone service, TV caller ID, and more. We believe innovative offerings like Total Home will help us continue increasing the percentage of customers in the bundle. At March 31st this year, 64.8% of residential customers were in a bundle. That's up from 62.7% at March 31st, 2012. That increase primarily represents growth in triple play customers, the churn rate for which is about 40% of that of single product customers. Turning now to our commercial lines of business, we continue to see tremendous growth in this area. Commercial revenue of $70.1 million represented 13% of total first quarter revenue, which is up 17% since the year ago period. On a combined basis, carrier services, commercial data, and commercial phone revenues grew 24.3% in the 12 months ending March 31st. With the investments we've made, relatively limited CLEC competition, and an estimated $1.1 billion being spent on communication services in our markets, we believe we're in a great position to continue capitalizing on the commercial opportunities before us. We also saw increased demand and continued growth in our carrier business during the quarter, with a number of fiber-to-the-tower tenants in billing up 82% over the first quarter of 2012. With carriers rolling out high-bandwidth services, we believe fiber-to-the-tower has great potential for additional revenue generation. For all the reasons discussed this morning, we're confident this company is in the strongest position it's ever been in its 10-year history, and we're very excited about its future. Speaking of the future, we made a strategic decision to move our telephone business onto our internal platforms. We've initiated the early planning stages of that work, which we estimate will require approximately $50 million in capital expenditures and non-recurring expenses, with the majority of that sum invested in 2014. At this time, we believe the effort can be completed by early 2015, at which time we would have greater control over our phone business and be in position to realize significant operating expense savings with a very attractive payback. Finally, I wanted to mention that we have continued to enjoy notable success in refinancing our debt. These efforts have strengthened our balance sheet and liquidity position, and we thank our debt investors for the continued support of our business. Mary Meduska will provide more detail on that subject in her remarks this morning, but first, I'll turn the call over to Tom McMillan, our Chief Operating Officer, to provide additional perspective on our operating results for the first quarter. Tom.
Thanks, Jerry, and good morning, everyone. As Jerry noted, at March 31 this year, we had nearly 3.57 million revenue-generating units, an increase of 93,100 year-over-year. On basic video, we ended the first quarter with approximately 1.21 million customers, up 700 over the fourth quarter of 2012. In the process, we offset the departure of higher-churning single-product video customers with the addition of more than 10,000 lower-churning bundled video customers. On digital video, we ended the quarter with 853,100 customers, up 15,600 units in the quarter, and approximately 57,600 units, or 7.2% growth in the trailing 12 months. Digital penetration of basic video customers continues to increase, and at the end of the first quarter was 70.4%, up from 63.8% a year ago. Along with our growth in digital video, with the help of our TiVo HD DVRs, we added nearly 22,500 DVR customers over the last 12 months, an annual growth rate of 6%. DVR penetration of digital customers stood at 46.5% at the end of the first quarter, and TiVo HD DVR customers now represent almost 14% of customers. We also added nearly 29,000 HD customers in the first quarter and nearly 120,000 in the past 12 months, representing 24.1% year-over-year growth, bringing HD penetration of digital customers to 72.2%. That's up from 62.3% a year ago. Our sell-in rate of HD to new digital customers is now more than 85%. Total penetration of advanced digital video services, either DVR or HD customers, stood at 73.6% of digital customers at the end of the first quarter. This was up from 64.4% at the end of the first quarter of 2012. We added 24,100 high-speed internet customers in the first quarter, and over the trailing 12 months added 46,400 units, representing growth of 4.7%. As a result, residential data penetration of estimated data homes passed was 34.5%, up from 33.6% a year ago. Our speed increases in 2012, coupled with continued growth in high bitrate applications, will continue to position us to drive customers to use higher speed services. Today, 73% of our customers have downloaded the download speeds of 15 megs or faster, and still less than 7% of our residential internet customers subscribe to our 30 meg or greater services, presenting us with significant upside opportunity. We have continued to capitalize on this opportunity as we drive more awareness at the time of sale of our 30 meg and greater service offerings. We have substantially increased our selling rate to new customers for our 30 meg plus services from less than 1% in the first quarter of 2012 to 18% in the most recent quarter. A complement to our high-speed internet service is Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home. During the most recent quarter, 50% of our new high-speed internet connects also purchased this service, as we added more than 29,400 Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home customers. In the trailing 12 months, Wi-Fi at Home grew 53.8%, with a net gain of more than 75,000 units, bringing our total customers with this service to 214,000. On telephony, we finished the quarter with approximately 477,500 customers, up approximately 5,800 units during the quarter, and more than 24,000 units, or 5.4%, in the trailing 12 months. As a result, residential telephony penetration was 18.9% of estimated telephone homes passed, up from 18.5% a year earlier. We estimate that we have secured roughly 31% of wireline phone market share in our service area. As of the end of the first quarter, total customer relationships were approximately 1.39 million, up 13,600 over the fourth quarter of 2012, and essentially even with the year-ago period. Lower margin video customer losses are being offset by a net gain of more than 13,000 non-video, higher-margin customers during the first quarter and nearly 27,000 in the trailing 12 months. Turning to commercial services, which are not included in our RGU counts, our 53,200 commercial internet customers at March 31 were the result of adding 4,500 customers in the trailing 12 months, representing 9.2% growth. Even more impressive, over the same period, we added 5,900 commercial phone customers, ending the first quarter with 25,500, a growth rate of more than 30%. We also continue to experience record-setting gains in our carrier services group. At March 31, we had successfully completed and initiated billing for 855 fiber-to-the-tower tenants, which, as Jerry mentioned, is up 82% from the number we had in billing at the end of the first quarter of 2012. We have another 584 tower tenants on signed contracts and in the process of being installed, and additional tenant opportunities in varying stages of the sales process. Several of the tenants in the sales process reside on towers that already have at least one tenant in billing, resulting in additional revenue opportunity with limited incremental investment. I'd like to single out a couple other initiatives briefly before closing. First, our online video service, Suddenlink To Go, is available across our entire footprint, and monthly streams continue to grow with more than 700,000 in March. That's up more than 100,000 from March of last year. As we continue to augment this service with new programming, such as recently added content from USA Network, Telemundo, and the Golf Channel, we expect more and more of our video customers to discover the convenience and value of this complimentary service. Second, during the fourth quarter of last year, we became the first cable provider in the country to offer TiVo Stream, a great complimentary service that highlights the benefits of bundling our video, internet, and Wi-Fi at home services as customers stream video content throughout their home to iPads and iPhones. This year, with the relaunch of our AnyRoom DVR service powered by TiVo Mini, a companion device to the TiVo HD DVR that provides customers with an even more economical, feature-rich whole home DVR solution, we are seeing renewed interest in this service. As of the end of March, we had already exceeded 10,000 TiVo Minis installed and have more than 80,000 TiVo devices installed. Third, we recently launched our We Promise program, which emphasizes to our customers our commitment to stand behind the quality of our products, the reliability of our network, and the timeliness of our service. As mentioned on last quarter's call, on the heels of the completion of Project Imagine, we kicked off a new initiative to focus on identifying ways to improve the customer experience through meaningfully reducing the number of times our customers need to contact us. This initiative, known internally as Project Excellence, is one more way we will invest in improving our customer experience. While this initiative is still in the very early stages, I'm pleased to note that during the first quarter, the number of customer contacts handled by customer service agents was down more than 10% from the same period last year, and the number of truck rolls we completed for service calls declined 8% over the same period. We are optimistic these efforts will continue to drive reductions in customer contacts. Thank you for your time today. I'd now like to turn things over to our CFO, Mary Medusky, for a closer look at our financial results during the quarter. Mary?
Thanks, Tom. Today I will discuss the financial results for Sequel Communications Holdings I and subsidiaries for the first quarter 2013. Adding to what Jerry and Tom have already provided, I'll also discuss our balance sheet and liquidity position. Debt outstanding at March 31st was approximately $4.8 billion, comprised of $1.5 billion face amount of 6.375% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings I, $1.113 billion face amount of 8.625% senior notes at Holdings I, $2.178 billion of senior secured term loans at Sequel Communications LLC, and $14 million of capital leases and other obligations at Sequel Communications LLC. At March 31st, we had approximately $259.4 million of cash on hand and approximately $483.6 million available under our $500 million revolver after taking account of $16.4 million outstanding letters of credit. Our secured bank leverage at March 31st as calculated under our credit agreement, was 2.59 times, which was in compliance with our bank covenant with significant cushion. Also at March 31st, our total leverage calculated under the indenture governing the 6.375% notes was 5.77 times, and our total leverage calculated under the indenture governing the 8.625% notes was 6.05 times. At March 31st, we had no interest rate hedges in place, and the weighted average cost of our debt was 5.82%. In April 2013, we distributed $64.6 million to Sequel Corporation, our indirect parent, which was used to pay a deferred transaction fee to our shareholders related to the November 15, 2012 transaction. On April 12, 2013, we received approval from lenders under our credit facility to amend our term loan facility to reduce the interest rate to LIBOR plus 275 basis points and the LIBOR floor to 75 basis points. There is a 101 soft call on repricings for 6 months from the amendment date. We also received commitments for a $300 billion incremental Term Loan B facility on the same terms, which closed on April 26. On April 16, 2013, we issued a redemption notice for $400 million aggregate principal amount of our outstanding 8.625% senior notes. This redemption amount, plus the applicable redemption premium of approximately $25.9 million, will be financed using the proceeds of the $300 million incremental term loans and cash on hand. The $400 million of 8.625% senior notes will be redeemed on May 16th. After that redemption, the aggregate principal amount remaining will be approximately $712.6 million. Pro forma for these transactions, as of March 31st, we would have had approximately $65 million of cash on hand, senior secured leverage would have been 3 times, and our total leverage calculated under the indenture governing the 6.375% notes and the 8.625% notes would have been 5.85 times and 5.9 times, respectively. The weighted average cost of our debt would have decreased to 5.2% from 5.82%. Now for a few comments on our first quarter financial results, pro forma for acquisitions and divestitures. As mentioned, total first quarter 2013 revenue was $539 million, representing growth of 6.4%, or $32.6 million over the first quarter 2012. ARPU was $148.59, an increase of 9.7% over the first quarter 2012. Our increase in total revenue for the first quarter 2013 versus the first quarter 2012 was due largely to an increase in residential high-speed internet, telephone, advanced digital video revenues, and broadcast retransmission revenue, growth in revenues from our commercial business, including carrier services, and growth in advertising revenue. Video service revenues increased 2.3% due primarily to video rate increases, higher broadcast retransmission fee revenue, and customer growth in our digital and advanced video services, including converter rental revenue for HD and DVR-capable digital converters. Offsetting this growth in part were the year-over-year basic video customer losses, decreased premium revenue, and the impact of digital customers on average purchasing fewer digital service tiers. High-speed internet service revenues increased 14% due primarily to an increase in residential high-speed internet customers, growth in home networking revenue, an increase in the percentage of customers taking higher speeds of service, the impact of residential rate increases, growth in our commercial high-speed data services to small and medium-sized businesses, and growth in carrier services, including fiber to the tower and optical internet and transport revenues. Telephone service revenues grew 7.7%, due primarily to an increase in residential telephone customers, offset in part by the impact of bundling and promotional discounts, and growth in our commercial telephone services to small and medium-sized businesses. Advertising revenues increased 10.1%, due in part to increased automotive advertising and new advertising contract in one of our markets. Other revenues increased 8% due primarily to increased administrative fee and other pass-through and service fee revenues, increases in commercial installation revenue, and increases in security service revenue. Our commercial lines of business, embedded in the video, high-speed internet, telephone service, and other revenues described above, are comprised of commercial and bulk video, commercial high-speed data, on- and off-net carrier services, and commercial telephone. Representing 13% of total company revenue in the first quarter 2013, commercial revenue of $70.1 million grew 17% versus the first quarter 2012. Commercial high-speed data, carrier services, and telephone revenue grew 24.3% year-over-year on a combined basis. Importantly, on-net carrier services alone grew 65.4%. Operating costs and expenses decreased 2.3% in the first quarter 2013 versus the first quarter 2012, primarily due to certain lower non-recurring expenses in the first quarter of 2013. These were offset in part by higher programming costs, increased broadcast retransmission consent expenses, increased net compensation and employee-related costs, commercial circuit costs, marketing expenses, property tax, and increased costs associated with our ad sales business. The first quarter of 2012 included $8.5 million of non-recurring expenses, primarily related to our March 2012 distribution. The first quarter of 2013 includes approximately $1.4 million of non-recurring expenses, which are primarily associated with acquisition due diligence costs. Before the impact of non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA for the first quarter 2013 would have been $208.3 million, an increase of 9.4% compared to the same quarter last year, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 38.7%, a 110 basis point improvement over the first quarter 2012. After the impact of non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA for the first quarter 2013 was $206.9 million, an increase of 13.8% compared to the same quarter last year, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 38.4%, a 250 basis point improvement over the first quarter 2012. Income from operations for the first quarter 2013 was $45.7 million, a decrease of 41% compared to $77.4 million in the first quarter 12. This was a result of increased depreciation and amortization expense. During the first quarter of 2012, we also recorded losses on the extinguishment of debt of $14.2 million, a change in fair value of derivative instruments of $10.9 million, and a loss on the termination of derivative instruments of $6.6 million, none of which were present in the 3 months ended March 31, 2013. Net loss for the first quarter 2013 was $17 million, compared to net loss of $26.4 million for the first quarter of 12. Capital expenditures for the first quarter of 2013 were $98.2 million, compared with $97.5 million for the same period in 12. During 2013, we expect capital expenditures to be approximately $340 million to $350 million, an increase from our previous guidance of $320 to $330 million. The increase in capital expenditures from our previously announced guidance is a result of expected capital expenditures for additional customer premise equipment needed to support an increased demand for our TiVo products and to bring our telephone business onto our internal platform. Of note, we would expect to incur approximately $50 million in total one-time operating and capital expenditures to complete the telephone migration. The migration activity and a substantial amount of the related expenditures will be incurred in 2014. We expect the project to be completed in early 2015 and produce an attractive payback due to the significant operating expense savings once we have migrated onto our own platform. Free cash flow for the quarter ended March 31st was $38.1 million, compared to $11.1 million for the same period in 2012. The increase in free cash flow for the first quarter 13 compared to the same period in 12 is due to improved operating results and a decrease in cash interest expense. I'll now conclude my remarks and turn the call back over to the operator to facilitate questions. I would like to remind everyone that this is a public call, and we will generally refrain from discussing information other than what is disclosed in our earnings release and quarterly report. Operator?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question is from Mike Pace of J.P. Morgan.
Hi, thank you. Question on the phone transition. You mentioned $50 million in OPEX and CAPEX. I'm wondering if you can give us a rough breakout on that. And when you say the majority in 2014, any sort of color on that would also be helpful. And on the same note, can you give us some guidance on what the cost savings potential could be from that, whether it's operating costs per sub, pre and post, or how long of a payback do you think it'll take to recoup that $50
million? Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
We're in the, you know, as we mentioned, we're in the relative early stages of planning our migration, but we'd like to be as helpful as we could at this point. And I think for your modeling purposes, it's not unreasonable to assume that of the $50 million, approximately half of it is capital expenditure related, and half of it is one-time operating expense related. We are, as I mentioned, still in the process of establishing the exact timing. A plan that considers at least half of it in 2014 is reasonable. In terms of the payback here for this opportunity is in the range of 3 years, similar to many other highly successful projects we look at. And so relative to our other uses of capital, certainly makes a lot of sense to do this. And relative to our control over a very important part of our business, obviously very important to do this.
And have you run the numbers yet on what operating cost per sub would be, kind of pre or post, or do you disclose that?
We haven't disclosed that, Mike, and we won't at this point.
Okay. Just on liquidity, I guess even pro forma for the deferred fee and the call premiums expected shortly on the 8 5/8, at least we have cash ending the year in a roughly similar place than we have at the actual first quarter end. So, you know, how much liquidity do you think that you need, including, I guess, your undrawn revolver and uses for that?
Well, we as Jerry mentioned, we are free cash flow positive and expect to continue to be free cash flow positive. We also have the full availability of our $500 million revolver. So the liquidity resources that we currently have are certainly ample for our business requirements in all the scenarios that we look at.
And then, Mary, just one more for you, and then I have one for Jerry. I'm kind of embarrassed to ask this one, but the difference in leverage calcs between the two bonds, is that just net and gross?
It's in the one bond, we can net $30 million of our cash, and in the other bond, we can net all of our cash. So it's just that. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. And then, Jerry, I forget, a couple of conference calls ago, you said that, you know, there was more heightened activity in the M&A environment, clearly seen a deal or two happen. You know, where does that sit today, and how important is incremental size to you and your new owners?
As you saw in our prepared comments, we did have some acquisition-related due diligence costs that were one-time expenses, so we did kick some tires. Organic internal growth is more important to us than going out and doing acquisitions. And so we're focused operationally on continuing to improve our customer service, bundled penetration, and rolling out advanced services. And that really is more important to us than the acquisition side. I mean, if there's a strategic acquisition that makes sense and we can get it at an attractive price, we're certainly very interested. But we're not going to go out, do an acquisition just for growth's sake.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from David Phipps of Citigroup.
Hi, thank you much. This is Alexa Princey for David Phipps. Just on the increase in bundled penetration, can you talk a bit about the pricing environment and your promotional activity during the quarter?
Sure. So as we've stated, our triple play penetration is grown to 25%. Relative to our peers, you'll notice that really we're still underpenetrated pretty significantly. So we naturally believe that there's an opportunity to continue to grow that number, and that would be our expectations. From a pricing standpoint, we have not made any dramatic changes to our price offerings. Our sales presentments and our sales execution has changed on the margin, we continue to become better presenters of our products and executing on our sales strategy, but from a pricing standpoint, really not a lot of movement in our offers at this point. Fairly consistent, and I would say from a competitive standpoint, we didn't see anything different in the first quarter that made an impression on us.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Your next question is from Jason Kim of Goldman Sachs.
Hi, great. Thanks for taking my questions. If I could follow up on the question about M&A, you're obviously coming off of an ownership change probably pretty recently. And combined with the fact that the debt markets are very attractive right now, your owners or your new owners presumably have a much longer investment horizon. How does the new environment that you're operating in change, if at all, in terms of how you look at M&A opportunities going forward?
New ownership really has an impact in two areas, not just M&A, but also operationally. It allows us to be more long-term oriented in terms of growth. So we're investigating ways on how we can better penetrate the markets, get more bundled penetration, and take a longer-term view on yield versus share. So that is certainly an impact. In terms of the M&A market, we've kicked the tires for every major acquisition that's been out there for the past several years, and maybe we're just picky. But, going forward, we'll continue to look at deals as we have in the past. I think our new investors have as much interest in us growing our internal operations as also going out and doing M&A transactions.
Does the fact that they recently contributed in a pretty sizable equity prevent you from doing larger deals, or should we be thinking that for the right acquisition that we could also see some additional equity contribution to make the deal more palatable from a balance sheet perspective?
If there was an attractive acquisition opportunity of size, I believe that our investors would be very supportive with potentially additional funds.
Got it. And just one more. I think on the fourth quarter call, you talked about maybe somewhere between 15 to 20% of your total CapEx dedicated to your commercial business. And I was wondering from the OpEx side, are there any areas of investments that you feel like you need to make to make sure that the company continues to gain market share in that segment in the future?
I would say that we have grown our sales organization from a commercial standpoint over the years, both externally, feet on the street, as well as internal, both in and outbound calling resources. We'll continue to keep an eye on that as opportunities present themselves. We also continue to focus on our service and delivery from a commercial standpoint and have augmented our broadband technician resources with SET training and certifications to equip them to do those types of installations. We'll continue to look at that. We've added some commercial service delivery leadership resources as that business continues to grow for us. So those are great opportunities and wonderful challenges for us to have as we continue to penetrate the commercial business.
Okay, so maybe to, if I'm interpreting it correctly, then the continued investments, but not like a hockey stick growth from an incremental spending perspective on a year-over-year basis. Is there a fair way to describe your investment strategy?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Great, thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question is from Keith Hanauer, Barclays.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. First, I guess just to follow up a bit on Mike's question and then kind of tie it into raising the CapEx guidance, it sounds like outside of the phone project, a fair chunk of the CapEx guidance raise is from the CPE side. So I guess I'm curious if your expectations on revenue kind of going forward in 2013 have changed as well, and you really expect to be selling through more, premium service products to be, driving up that CPE spend.
I'll start, and Tom will join me. First of all, a portion of our capital expenditure increase is coming from TiVo. As Tom mentioned in his remarks, our penetration of TiVo, our TiVo penetration of DVRs has increased to 14%. Those customers, our early indications suggest they are happier customers. They churn less often, and they contribute for those reasons alone. They contribute to an improvement in our overall revenue profile. And also, TiVo equipment generally comes at a premium to HD DVR equipment. So all of those reasons should help us have a better customer experience going forward with the deployment of TiVo, and that contributes to half of our CapEx guidance increase.
And I would just add, obviously, it's an award-winning user interface. It's something that we really haven't been able to provide to our customers historically. It incorporates the Stream video experience on iPads and iPhones inside the home, as well as the AnyRoom experience with the TiVo Mini. Our VOD streams are up 18% year over year. Some of that could be attributable to the fact that we've been deploying, we're seeing upticks in the TiVo DVR penetration. So that can be helping us as well. We feel really strong about our video platform with the TiVo user interface and ancillary products as the anchor really of that service offering.
And lastly, I would say that customers who buy TiVo service from us need to have a minimum of 10 megs of HSI service. So it provides an opportunity for us to continue our objective of up-tiering our customers to higher service levels of HSI. And that, in some measure, contributed to our overall HSI revenue growth first quarter over the year-ago quarter of 14%.
Let me just add that it's an interesting question about TiVo and our other HD DVRs. We recently met and talked about, do we want to take steps to slow demand for TiVo because of higher capital expenditures? And to a certain extent, we're building inventories for other HD DVRs. And we reviewed the history. We started out with TiVo charging a higher install fee and a higher price for the HD DVR until we all got comfortable with it. And our workforce really has embraced TiVo. They're really pushing it to the customers. The customers have a very enjoyable experience. One feature about TiVo is you have many more hours of recording that you can do for your DVR, which is very attractive, and over time, we evened out the install fee and the monthly recurring fee. And as we met and talked about it, we decided that the bright business decision was to continue not to throttle back demand for Tebow, but to let our customers who have a much more enjoyable experience have the Tebow experience, and that's what we decided.
And it's a much more affordable, both for us as well as our customers, experience with the Tebow Mini. That's an IP device, and the cost of that device is substantially less than a full Tebow Q HD DVR.
Okay, thanks. And then a question on the ARPU side. I guess, you know, pretty impressive growth, and it's been pretty steady in the 10% range over the last several quarters. I guess bigger picture, just kind of how do you think about it in terms of the contribution from commercial versus residential and premium services, and, you know, is it sustainable for the time being? Should we think about 10% being the right range going forward?
Well, we don't make forward-looking statements about what we project our revenue growth and ARPU growth to be. But let me just comment on some of the things that's driving that. Certainly, our commercial business services are contributing to that overall growth. But there's a few other things we're doing. One in particular is we're really focused on selling higher and higher tiers of speed, and that has really driven our ARPU, and we've been very successful. Tom, you want to talk about the kind of the difference in selling rates?
Right. So we have moved our triple, you know, our tier three or higher sell-in rate from what our 30 meg service sell-in was 1% or less in the first quarter of last year, and we've moved that up to 18% in the most recent quarter, and we continue to see that climb. So TiVo may be having some impact on that as fewer customers buy our lowest level of service tier and move into our second and third levels of service. I'd also mention, as I said in my comments, our sell-in of our Suddenlink Wi-Fi service is now at 50%, and that's up dramatically from where it had been historically, certainly last year. We had moved that into the 30-ish percent range, and now have stepped that up to half.
But I think that moving customers to higher levels of internet speed, the sell-in for Wi-Fi at home, the demand for TiVo and commercial business services is certainly sustainable for a period of time.
Okay, great. And then just one last question on the balance sheet. Obviously, you're taking out a portion of the 8 5/8. I guess just want to hear any updated thoughts with the high yield market where it is about taking out the rest of that issue in a refinancing.
So yes, we have. We're expecting to refinance $400 million on May 16th, and we're looking thoughtfully at the high yield market. We understand what options may be available there, and we're looking at those options currently.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jonathan Levine of Aviva Investors.
Actually, my question's been answered. Thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star one. There are no questions.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for your time and interest. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.